Benny Rietveld is a bassist whose musical journey takes him around the world as musical director for Santana, benefiting from the mentoring that goes back to his days in Hawaii as an up-and-coming young jazz musician, and to the band he and his friends formed more than 30 years ago, Topaz. Then, as now, as members are versatile and accomplished musicians, now they have the opportunity to learn how 30 years of performing have changed them as they prepare a weekend reunion concert. Benny's with us in our studio. And he's very disappointed because he didn't get in time to win the backyard quiz, right?
Did he answer?
I think somebody was there just before you, but...
Can I say it on the air just to ruin everything?
No, you can't because they're...
All right.
But we'll try to get past the bitterness of disappointment.
No. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Benny. Thanks for coming in. I was thinking about the whole idea of mentoring, of which you were a great beneficiary back when you were coming up, right?
For sure.
And how the whole tradition of jazz was very much an oral tradition of mentoring until jazz education came around maybe 30, 40 years ago. But it's a different way to learn, and in a way, I think you're kind of part of that last generation to get a benefit of that real one-on-one mentoring.
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
I hope not, but you know what I mean? It's a tradition that was stronger back then, yeah?
Well, only I think it was stronger because literally that's all you had. You
yeah.
Know? So it was like stronger by default. Like both all this other stuff, you know, the online lessons and the DVDs and stuff, they're really great.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a great adjunct to that. And you know, combined with some real mentorship... that can be a powerful learning tool for sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's no replacing that. I mean, I think because the dawn of the digital age and everyone, you know, thought that, oh, this will replace everything, and it really doesn't, but it's a great help. You know, DVDs, all these cool mm-hmm. things that we have are amazing, little YouTube lessons and stuff. You know, it's a lot of disinformation too, but, you know, there was a lot of disinformation back before that, you know, because there was always that teacher guy that really didn't know what he was talking about was still taking people's money
and who might be the only game in town.
Exactly. So, you know, there's always disinformation everywhere, but yeah, there's no replacing real one-on-one kind of an experience kind of a mentorship, you know.
Well, I mean, because when you and the members of the band, you and Noel Okimoto, for example, were playing with Gabe Baltazar when you were kids.
Yep.
And Gabe's a generation older and he's coming out of bebop and the whole post-war tradition. Mm. So that's an encyclopedia. Yeah.
And there's nothing like you're on a gig and you have this mentor and you're in the trenches and actually playing, and then a couple of words can really sink in because it's right at the right moment. You're like, oh, you know, like just some guy saying, you know, just play some time, you know, here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a real, you know, like a visceral kind of lesson that you can read it in a book, you know, play time when the soloist wants, you know.
Oh, but it's,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, in the heat of the battle and some guy, you know, yells at you or something, say, hey, you know, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, you feel it more. And it's, you know, so, it all works really well. But one-on-one mentorship is definitely, you know, a priority, I think.
I was once playing a solo and I was kind of noodling, skimming the surface, and the horn player turns over to me and says, dig in, Vandercook.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That was 30 years ago.
Dave Liebman once, we were at the Cavalier and he was playing and he, Junior Breakey just said, just take your time, you know? That's all he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh yeah, you know, instead of playing always on top of the beat or trying to get as many notes in as possible,
yeah.
You know? So things like that are pretty golden, you know, golden nuggets as it were.
Well, because those get you beyond the specific details that you could very easy to get caught up in.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And to very much an overview kind of thing, like
sure.
Relax. These little zen moments.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't write that in a textbook, you know. Page 30, relax.
Relax, yeah.
What?
What exactly is that supposed to be?
40 bucks for this book. But yeah.
But you also have the thing in a club of feeling a reaction coming right back to you.
Yes.
And sensing what an audience is thinking, whether or not they're paying attention.
That's true. And That's really important too. And even in music that people traditionally think of as not audience oriented, you know, like jazz, you know, well, you know, we're just playing our thing, man. But, you know, no, but it's all music has to touch you somehow, you know, or take you on some journey or move you in some way. Otherwise, it's just not any good, you know. You know, so whether they're just dancing and crazy, acting crazy, or listening and being transported somewhere, it has to reach that audience. I mean, otherwise, just play in your room and forget it. You know, So yeah, there is a definite audience reaction, and that's why live music is still so cool, because there's that energy exchange. You know, that's what it is. It's a communal experience. You know, you don't have players without listeners. You don't have listeners without players.
You were saying that you feel as if the pendulum is swinging back toward an appreciation of being in the presence of somebody who's making it up right there.
I really do see that. I mean, people realize, whether or not consciously or unconsciously, but they realize that there's a feeling that you get when there's a band or a guy really playing and putting it out there, that you don't get from even the most high-res TV and the most surround system possible. You know, it's still a recorded performance of another time, and you're not really there. You know, even though the ads will say, you know, like, you know, it makes you feel like you're there, you know, sort of, but not really. The real thing is the sweat and the instant energy thing. And, you know, it sounds all gobbledygook, but it's very true.
Well, you know when somebody's up there burning, and certainly playing with Carlos Santana, it's his quest to get there every time he gets on the bandstand.
Every time.
He's a communicator.
Yeah.
And that's really, and it can be a communication of something simple. If it gets across, it gets across.
Yeah, and you see it, and we look for that, actually. We literally look for the people that are completely losing their mind and just being like, wow, I can do this. I can just let go for an hour or two, you know, instead of, you know, worrying about this and that and the other thing. And we look for that, and it's the best thing ever. And then we know, okay, the more people that are doing that, the better we're doing our job, basically.
Because you need to complete a kind of feedback loop.
Feedback loop, exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. And it has to be there. Otherwise, you know, it's, to me anyway, it's just not music. Oops.
That was music. See, we, you know, nothing.
And we had a reaction.
We had a reaction, exactly.
We were like, God, doesn't that lady know how to turn off her phone?
Well, Benny, you've learned a lot, obviously, since you and the members of Topaz created this music, as has everyone else in the band.
Yeah.
What kind of lessons do you think those 30 years have brought about?
I think a lot of them are the same, but they just get reinforced more, like taking your time. I mean, so, yeah, he told me that 30-some-odd years ago, but but to really implement that in on a day-to-day basis is really very difficult, you know. Also, I think the big lessons are the presence of mind when, you know, when everything is starting to fall apart, you know. You could just know where you are. What, you know, it really helps, especially as a bass player or rhythm section player. You have to be, you know, there, because people are really, really, really relying on you. So you're kind of like the pilot or something.
Yeah.
Just being really, really present and very, very open to every single thing that's happening, not only on stage but off of stage. You know, like just sort of like opening every portal and just seeing everything. Like, you know, listening to the drummer, I'm seeing this person dancing. I was like, oh, this person is bored. You know, like I'm hearing Carlos doing this other guitar. Like, it means he wants to go to a different section altogether. And then I have to kind of, you know, think about the keyboard player and, you know, like trying to, maybe we're doing a song he doesn't know. So, you know, you got to try to direct him, you know, like, oh, it's this chord, that chord, you know. So just being, you know, open to everything all the time.
and at that, in those times, you're fully alive, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
great. That's what keeps us coming back.
Nothing like it. Nothing like pure music energy. It's the best thing in the world.
That it is. Great to talk to you, Benny. Thanks so much for coming
in.
Great
to be here.
Benny Rietveld is Carlos Santana's musical director and bassist. He'll be reuniting with the other founding members of Topaz, Noel Okimoto, Carl Wakelin, Alan Wan, and Fred Schroeders this Friday at Crossroads Hawaii in Honolulu. And you can learn more on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.